It's Friday. You know what time it is. Front Runner Podcast Collective is back on the air. I am your humble host, Vince. And today we have a really big show. We're going to break down some of the Southeastern teams, what they're doing, how it's all working out. We have a spectacular dunk by DeAndre Hunter that we want to talk about. We also are going to get into some of the things that are just going on around the league, because there seems to be a lot of them. But before that, we do have something that we are going to break down first. But before we get there, let's get to the socials real quick. You are going to go on X, or you are going to go on Blue Sky, and you are going to type in at Frontrunner PC. Now, if you're on X, that's it. It just pops up. Boom. It's, you know, it's beautiful. Pink, blue, little logo that I created in my mind. And then somebody else who has real talent created it tangibly. Then you go to Blue Sky. Do the same exact thing. Go into the search engine. Hit at Frontrunner PC. That'll be me. And then you have joined the revolution. It's that easy. Real simple. Now, when it comes to the YouTube channel, we'll be putting up videos from this podcast 100%. Also, we'll be adding some things to the community page. Please go and check that out. That subscribe to that channel, which is Frontrunner Podcast Collective. The next thing and the last thing, but probably the most important thing, be a friend and tell a friend. The movement is still here. It is still continuing. It is gaining momentum again, which is great. We're getting all new listeners from like crazy places, like Mali, of all places. But join the revolution, be a part of the conversation, and jump on those socials, because we want to hear from you. And it also gives you almost like creative license to give some indications of what you want to hear on the show as well. Please go ahead and do. Now, usually we start off with, we're going to go around the arc or baseline buzz, but today we're going to do something a little bit different, something that I've been sitting on for about 2 weeks now. And I wanted to make sure that I gave it enough time. I also wanted to make sure that it got a chance to breathe, and I wanted to collect my thoughts on it. And what drove me to this actual, if you want to call it a monologue, was the fact that Dennis Schroeder got traded to the Golden State Warriors.
I will cut in here and give our listeners a peek behind the scenes here. This thought, these WPR deeds have been 2 weeks in the making.
As a proud 40-plus year Laker fan, I think I had just seen about enough. And what I'm talking about is that we're going to go ahead and we're going to dissect Rob Pelinka in his tenure with the Los Angeles Lakers today. And the reason for this is because of the fact that we are on the precipices of moves being made. December 15th was the signal that the free agents that signed in the offseason can start moving around. So moves are likely to be made, especially in Brooklyn, where they are hot to get off some people. They just did it with Dennis Schroeder. They're looking to offload Dorian Finney-Smith and also Cam Johnson, because they need to start tanking in a real way. Their coach is way too good. But we digress back into this. Now, the reason why I want to do this now is because I have a fundamental question for all Laker fans out there. And that fundamental question is this: are you sure you want Rob Pelinka doing this bidding? Now, I understand that we don't really have a choice. But if we had a connection into Jeannie Buss, like a direct line, would you want Rob Pelinka? And we're going to dissect his career a little bit in a second. But the fundamental question is, do you want him to basically craft the next iteration of the Lakers or a pseudo contender for this iteration of the Lakers or whatever it is that he is trying to craft? But first and foremost, we're going to start with the Westbrook trade. Now, there's a lot of conversation. Who pulled that trigger? There's a lot of conversation. Did players have direct involvement with that recruitment? There are speculations on guarantees that it was going to work from some players and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, Rob Pelinka's job as the executive of the Los Angeles Lakers, and basically if you want to think about it this way, I have always thought of an executive of a franchise as a caretaker, as somebody who is going to meticulously craft this organism that is always changing now in the National Basketball Association. But you're building a standard of play. You're building a culture of play. How you see it in different walks of sports, the Patriots way. There seems to be, obviously we talk about it in the NBA, Heat culture. Rob Pelinka has been in charge of the Lakers, and we're going to go through some of his moves. And we'll start with the Westbrook move. Now, the one thing that I want to say about that is that what you'll start to see in, as we start going down the list here, is you're going to start to see a lot of moves driven by urgency instead of strategy. And I think the Westbrook trade was really the first one. Well, it wasn't the first one, but it was the first salvo of where we were going with Rob Pelinka. So I want to also harken you back to a time when this went down. Remember the tenor of the NBA. We still had what we thought was Golden State. We had other teams on the rise. But Brooklyn popped up. Remember, this is not Brooklyn now. This is Brooklyn with KD and Kyrie and James Harden. As Pelinka is starting to look at the terrain in the NBA, now he's coming off a title, right? He's won a title. He is looking at it and going, we got to create our own big three. We need to have somebody with juice when our aging superstar, which is LeBron James, and our often injured superstar, which is Anthony Davis, who has absolutely turned that around. So there will be no AD slander on this podcast. We love you, AD. Thank you for grabbing all those rebounds last night. Thank you for going up and really playing tough basketball last night against Domantas Sabonis. I appreciated that. Now, back to Pelinka. So he wants to create this big three because he is just scared of this arms race, even after he has won a title. So you're not seeing somebody very comfortable in what he had already built. And he was not really thinking that this team had legs. Now, with time, obviously, we have grown to know that the archetype that he built then was probably the archetype that we see nowadays in the NBA. A lot of depth, a lot of role players, a lot of star in your role players, a lot of people who had intentionality on defense and also could move the ball on offense. So, with that being the backdrop, he does the Westbrook trade. Now, Westbrook's style never complemented LeBron and or AD. Now, for context, their pace slowed to 97.6 in 2022, which was in the bottom 10 of the league, because Westbrook couldn't thrive without the ball in his hands. You knew that when you were getting him.
Westbrook has always been a mercurial guy, and how it ended was foreseen. Westbrook fit as a Laker was bad from the jump, and you have one of the smartest players in the world. Thoughts, V?
Here's the other thing with that. LeBron is basically a supercomputer. He can dissect an offense or a defense, and he can move the chess pieces around. He, unfortunately, at this age, it's going to be hard for him to do it every single night. Or even if you said you were playing three games in a week, he's probably not going to be give you that effort. He'll probably be able to pump it up once a week at this point. Now, will there be spurts of defense? Will there be spurts of brilliance? 100%. LeBron knows how to pace himself. He's one of the smartest players in the league. And given the right cast of characters around him, I do believe that LeBron could be very successful, and he would also be very formidable in a playoff setting. Now, getting back to 2022, they're in the bottom 10 of the league because Westbrook needs the ball. You got LeBron James on your team. You should have known this right here should have told you this trade should not have gone down. Somebody in Pelinka's brain, there should have been like a NASA center, and it should have been like, we need to abort this mission right now. We need to hit the red button and not allow this to go down. But it went down. Now, as we go on, Westbrook assist to turnover ratio dropped to 1.6, which was the lowest in a decade. While the Lakers bench efficiency plummeted, it was just a shit show. And there wasn't any way to get around it. Everybody was miserable. You had Westbrook coming into the building every day, threatening people, whether he was going to get traded or not, and challenging people and stuff like that. You just had people just, the vibe was terrible. It's on Pelinka's watch. Now, he goes out, makes the trade that you have to make. He ripped the Band-Aid off, got D'Angelo Russell, got Jared Vanderbilt, a couple other pieces to go along. Had Dennis Schroeder twice. Let him go. Okay. Now, Alex Caruso, which has been a bone of contention in Los Angeles for many a year. Oh, you know what the Lakers need? They need a guard who can put defensive ball pressure on. They need a guard that has some connectivity that can just move the ball around and be able to hit an open shot from time to time. Who does that sound like? Sound like Alex Caruso. He was also in the building. He got let go. Budgetary constraints. Now, for my podcast listeners, I'm doing the air quotes, but I think this is going to end up on YouTube. Pay close attention. Now, I want to talk about a couple other misses, too. And the one miss that I'm really upset about right now, because the Lakers are out here, and the word on the street is that the Lakers are looking for three things. Now, they have a priority list of these things, but basically, in no certain order. They want ball pressure. Now, I want you to remember what I just said. They also want a center with some size and girth who can be a little rugged and rebound for his position. Okay, I think that would be an adequate situation to go ahead and a fruitful venture to go after. Now, the other thing that they are looking for is they're looking for an athletic wing. primarily because of the fact that LeBron is almost 40 years old. So December 29th, he turns 40. You need somebody who is going to chase some of these athletic wings around the court. You currently don't have it.
For my money, a lot of young talent was let go due to not navigating the salary cap as well as other franchises have, or just not considering them because of Rob's thirst for stars. Now Russell and Rui get the brunt of the blame when things are going wrong. Remember, until traded, their production is critical to the success of the Lakers. Any more thoughts on Rui?
Now, Rui Hachimura is playing that situation, which he is out of position because he is a power forward. The problem is that LeBron has aged himself into a power forward situation, and I think we're 3 years too late understanding what he is. Is that the job of Rob Pelinka? We'll get back to that momentarily. Remember what I talked about with ball pressure? I want you to go look on Basketball Reference right now. I want you to go to team. When you go to team, I want you to go to the Memphis Grizzlies. And when you get to the Memphis Grizzlies, you're going to see that the record is going to be awesome and you're going to be sour as a Laker fan. Then what I want you to do is, as you scroll down, there's a part where it says roster. And in that roster, there's a gentleman by the name of Scottie Pippen Jr. Now, I bring his name up because he's having an outstanding year for the Memphis Grizzlies. Kudos to Scottie Pippen Jr. for having a most excellent year. And also, I commend you on valuing the basketball. His assist to turnover ratio is outstanding. Now, the reason why I bring up Scottie Pippen Jr. is because he is a former Laker. He was in South Bay, just playing on the G League, just doing his thing. Every once in a while, he'd get a cup of coffee with the big team, play, then be jettisoning back off to the G League. Now, ball pressure, you say. Who gives good ball pressure? Scottie Pippen Jr. gives good ball pressure. You said that you wanted a big. Now, what a valuable big is now in this league? A big that can space the floor. Guess what? Let's go to that same roster that I was just talking about in the Memphis Grizzlies, because it's astonishing. They also have J-Hub. Now, if you're a Laker fan, you're probably going, man, that name sounds very familiar. Well, it is, because he was also on the Lakers G League team. What is J-Hub doing this year? Go ahead and click his little bio. Go ahead and click that link and look up what he's shooting from three. Above 40%. Floor spacer, 6'10", rebounds decently. Do you think he would be better than Christian Koloko? No shade, Christian. I know you coming back from injury and stuff like that. Don't worry. I think you're a good rim protector and all of that. But here's the other thing. You've gone through Jackson Hayes and Christian Wood and what have you, and you had J-Hub in the building. He was there. So you can add J-Hub and Scottie Pippen Jr. to Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma, because remember, Kyle Kuzma was part of what? The Russell Westbrook trade. Yes, kids. Yes. Now, as we go on and as we clear up that and we start to move on, what is going on this year? What are we doing? Now, let's go back to the offseason. Actually, let's go back before the offseason, around draft time. And Rob Pelinka stated at that specific time, he said, we are going to be very aggressive with our picks to firm up this team and make it a contender in the Western Conference. We saw what happened with Denver and we cannot let that stand. Okay. Now, free agency hits. Oh, tampering can happen. And you start to see names come off the board. Names that can help the Lakers. Names that are going for like really cheap prices at this point. Go look what Taurean Prince signed for in Milwaukee. Go look what Gary Trent Jr. signed for in Milwaukee. What did Chris Dunn sign for the Clippers? That's gotta hurt. That one's gotta hurt. Now, all of this on Rob Pelinka's watch. All of this. No activity during the offseason. Now we roll into the season. The Lakers are 14-12. Okay. The West is deep. The West is strong, and the West is competitive. Teams that were hurt last year are now ascending. Oh, the Memphis Grizzlies with the two South Bay Lakers on their team. Then you also have the OKC Thunder, who are just basically dominating the West. They have Alex Caruso on their team. Then you also have teams that are also ascending, like the Houston Rockets, who are playing their ass off right now and playing inspired ball. And guess what? They have an identity. They have a culture. And they have a mandate to play defense. Now, do they have the young bodies to do that? You're 100% correct. They do have those young bodies. But Rob Pelinka has told us that he's going to be very aggressive with the picks. Now, I want to give you something because Soraya dug this up for me. And I want to thank her because she did yeoman's work on this. Now, teams drafting for fit over hype outperform their projections by 9.8% in playoff win shares over the last 5 years. So when you sign the big flashy free agent and you put him out there in front of the media and he's holding up the jersey and everybody's taking pictures and your executive wins, executive of the year and whatever. Mind you, I will tell you again, last year, what swung the pendulum of power in the West? PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. I've never seen PJ Washington make an all-star team, and I am damn sure that Daniel Gafford has not made anything close to an all-star team. You tell me that stars are important. You tell me that we got to go get firepower. I tell you this, the role players you let go and the role players that you keep on turning your nose up at, LeBron is 39 years old. He's about to turn 40. You can't ask that man to chase guys who are literally 16 years his junior sometimes. Sometimes taller. Sometimes, or most of the time now, more athletic. And have boundless energy. Why? Because they're 23. And that man is 39. And also, by the way, it's bring your son to work day in Los Angeles as well, because Bronny's out here putting up mad numbers in the G League. You know what I'm saying? But I'm sure I know he can decompartmentalize. LeBron is a lot of things, and he is a superstar dad, no doubt. But I will say this. At the end of the day, when we are at this preface of trades being made, are you sure you want Rob pulling the trigger? Hit me up on X, hit me up on Blue Sky, know the deal. Let's move on to a little something, a little more positive. So we're going to talk about Karl-Anthony Towns going back to Minnesota.
Karl Anthony Towns went out there and had an incredible game, and we'll get to what he did and how it went. But I think the other thing that I want to talk about with this is the trade. There's a lot going on with it. There's a lot of speculation about who won the trade. There were thoughts initially that Minnesota had won this trade because of getting two players instead of one and being able to have some cap flexibility, where if you kept Karl Anthony Towns, you're looking at a situation where you have him for 4 years. Now, it swung back the other way, and Karl Anthony Towns is the toast in New York, putting up crazy numbers, shooting threes, and putting up incredible rebounding numbers. But he goes back to New York, and it's not just about numbers. This guy's confidence is skyrocketed. And since moving to New York, it has just been box office. Because here's the thing that people need to understand, Cat. Now, I've been a huge detractor for Cat over the years. But the one thing that I did say last year is that his openness to move to power forward and give them what he could as a defender, which, yeah, the fouls are super crazy sometimes, and you got to understand who he is, right? You just got to understand. But Towns is thriving now in New York. In Minnesota, he was often overshadowed by questions about his leadership and his defense. Now he's anchoring this Knicks team. Now, is it beautiful defense by him? No. He's a sieve at the rim. But there are some positives to Karl Anthony Towns. And one of the stats that I want to get to is that his defensive rebounding percentage right now is 34.2%. And that's the highest since 2019. And that's allowed the Knicks to limit opponents to second chance points, which is a critical part of them winning close games. I've been on an uptick lately, and he's been having really huge rebounding numbers. And then here's the other thing, is that they didn't get him for his defense. They got him for this stat. He's a center hitting 46% from three-point line. That's what he's hitting. He's damn near at 50% at 7 feet tall.
Having a big who can knock down shots from deep is essential. Is today's brand of basketball. Having Towns is a big luxury. A volume shooting spacer as a big. So nuts to wrap your head around. Knicks fans must be pumped and jacked.
Do I think it's a success? Maybe. Do I think it's working? You got to think about it this way. Mikal Bridges is starting to round into shape. OG Anunoby has been a demon this year, and he's been very healthy, which is great for him, because I didn't know how that was going to go. Then you have the combination of Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns, and we had their numbers on pick and roll in our last pod. Oh no, in our Monday's pod. So go back to Monday's pod. There's a real cool pick and roll stat in there that Saraya dropped on us. But their pick and roll is incredibly effective. And yeah, the defense has suffered, but their offense, they can put up 125 easy. Because Cat can drop 35 in his sleep, and Jalen Brunson can get 30 when he need to. And then you have enough depth around that team as far as the starting lineup. You don't have a lot of depth when it comes to the bench, and we'll get to that in a second. But at the end of the day, there are pieces coming back, and also they still have some things in the cupboard to trade if they need some reserves, some cavalry when it comes to the postseason. I like the dynamic of this team. I like it better when Mitchell Robinson gets back. Now, I'm very concerned about the health issues of Mitchell Robinson in a Knick uniform. I don't know if that's something that the Knicks do decide to go ahead and shore up. And I don't know. It doesn't have to be anything huge, though. That's the best part. It's not like they have to give up significant draft compensation to get this great backup center. We just need a dude that can come in and give us 12. Maybe we can split up the minutes that Karl Anthony Towns, Mitchell Robinson, and with a third center, you could split up those minutes and then you can get Karl down to the four, which I know that's something that the Knicks fans want to see. With defensive-minded center, Karl at the four, and then these crazed wings, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, just flying around. We're getting closer and closer to seeing that, and I can't wait to see it. Here's a stat. Their pick and roll efficiency ranks them in the 95th percentile league-wide. Towns is converting 68% of his shots off pick and roll actions. It's one of the reasons why the Knicks' offensive rating is now second in the league. So the Knicks are killing it. Cat went crazy in Minnesota. He had a quarter to remember. That second quarter where he just went off, he was like 4 for 4 from three-point land. He couldn't miss. He had 22 points. It was nuts. Great game by Cat. Minnesota, a lot of work to do. And guess who's upset? Anthony Edwards. Can't wait till that dude has a press conference and say, calls bullshit on what's going on above him. Can't wait. It's going to be must-see TV. All right, so we're going to move on now to our Around the Arc segment. We're going to go ahead and we're going to break some of these teams down that we need to go ahead and get into. And we're going to get into this Southeastern division. And we're going to talk about the Orlando Magic real quick. Now, the Orlando Magic, they had a tough one the other night. Orlando's defense is still playing at a high level. They lost pieces. Paolo Banchero's not there. Franz Wagner has an oblique injury as well. And now Jalen Suggs got hurt too when he missed the entire second half. There's a lot going on with Orlando, but they continue to play and give good effort on the defensive side of the ball. So now their defense right now is so crazy. Jonathan Isaac's defensive box plus minus is a positive 3.1. And Goga Batase, who has been an underrated rim protector, the team also ranks 6th in opponent shooting percentage within 5 feet. So here's the thing. They have two guys who are mad productive, which is Franz and Paolo. The rim production, or the lack of rim production by other teams, because it's a no-fly zone in Orlando. No dunks allowed in here. Okay? No crazy layups. None of that. Don't be getting all cheeky coming into the paint. Come in, state your business, and get out. Orlando is making it happen. And Jamal Mosley, again, I just sing this dude's praises every year. And I hope that he gets some real consideration for NBA Coach of the Year, especially if for some reason they end up with like a 4 seed. It would be really interesting to see them with some home court advantage in the playoffs with maybe a healthy Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, and a continuity of a team that just added Kentavious Caldwell-Pope sounds great to me, personally. So I don't know. Now, their turnover problem is outlandish, but this is because of the fact that now you have Anthony Block, who is a second-year player. He has a turnover percentage of 16.8, which is very high. But here's a guy who is being thrown to the fire and given way more opportunities than he was ready for. So I think this is only going to help their team, even though that you're going to see some ugly basketball until Jalen Suggs and some of the guys get back. Or if there's a trade to help a little bit, who knows? Especially in the backcourt, who knows? But the coaching staff needs to design more quick-hitting plays to reduce the decision-making and take the pressure off him. That's something that you could do. So basically just quick-hitting action, DHOs, get him off the ball, then have him pick up the ball, and it'll quicken up his mind and it'll get people moving. And when he was in college, that's what we saw a lot of with him, and that was his special superpower. And I hope that they're able to kind of ping into that and start utilizing that on a more consistent basis. But you know what? It's all development right now. It's all like all hands on deck. It is, let's just get through this and see if we can get our guys back. Orlando is doing very well for what they have. Now, we're going to move on to Atlanta Hawks, and we're going to talk about the offensive shift that is going on in Atlanta. This is what I think is very interesting, and it's something that we talked about in the offseason. And Atlanta this season is finding their balance, and Trae Young is still being the star that he is and taking the bulk of the shots. But it feels like guys like DeAndre Hunter are fine getting their shine. So what changed? First, it's all about ball movement. Atlanta's 27.8 assists per game is the highest since 2016. They shifted away from Trae dominating every possession, which has allowed Hunter, Bogdanovich, and others like Dyson Daniels and Jalen Johnson to handle the ball more, get Trae off of it, is something that we've been screaming for on this podcast for two straight years. Quinn Snyder has finally broken Trae. Quinn Snyder, the Trae Young whisperer. Now, how has Trae adjusted to embracing this change? And surprisingly, his usage rate has dropped to 31.2%. But his efficiency is up. His shooting on catch-and-shoot threes is up to 40%, which is a career high. Now, by playing more off-ball, it's actually harder to guard Trae. This is something that we've been talking about. Get off the ball. Be more like Steph Curry. It makes you hard to guard. You're small, quick, shifty. You still look like Albie Shore's love child. But at the end of the day, you know what's going down? Success. Atlanta's playing. They're over 500. They look like a legitimate playoff team. And I'm not saying they're going to make all this crazy noise, but damn. Some excitement in the ATL? Sweet. Sign me up. I'm ready for that. Now, here's the one thing that I do want to talk about before we get off everything. DeAndre Hunter's dunk on Victor Wembanyama last night was nasty. That was nasty. Now, do we think that Victor was deterred by that? No, he was not deterred by that at all. But getting back on DeAndre Hunter, over his last 10 games, he's averaging 17.2 points a game on 49% shooting. And when he scores, plus 20. The Hawks' offensive rating jumped from 115.6 compared to 109.2 when he scores under 15 points a game. His confidence is making a huge difference. Listen, this is what we kind of expected from DeAndre Hunter when he came into the league. Now, injuries have really just taken seasons away from him. Just real crazy, like groin, knee injuries, all lower body type stuff. And now we're getting to see him healthy. We're getting to see him ready to go. And I think with Dyson Daniels and Jalen Johnson specifically, what those guys give specifically is energy, juice. They get up on people. They are in people's jerseys. And they like to have fun and get up and down the court. And that just, it just fits Trey to a T. So I can't be mad at what's going on in But now in Miami, we got some things to talk. And obviously all the rage to talk about right now is what's going on with Jimmy Butler. What is Pat Riley going to do? Is he going to keep him? Is he going to extend him? Is he going to he's going to let him hit free agency and then get him? What is going to happen? Now, if I'm Pat Riley, I have to think long term about Butler. He's having an incredible season right now. His true shooting percentage is 63.4%, which is elite. But the Heat are stuck in mediocrity. They're sitting sixth. Trading him for young assets could set them up for a better future. But here's the one thing. The Heat don't care playoff position because they know if they get to the playoffs, who shows up for the playoffs? Playoff Jimmy. Playoff Jimmy is a thing, and let me tell you why. Butler in the playoffs, his box plus minus was 6.3, positive 6.3. Now, there is the age concern. He's 35 years old, making $48.8 million this year and $52.4 next year, but he has said that he is going to hit free agency. He is not, I don't know this, everybody can change their mind. Because $52.4 million is a lot of coin, Jimmy. I don't know if you're going to see that number in the open market. Now, if you're saying, hey, if I get 3 years, $90 million, 3 years, $100 million, I'm still making $100 million. It really depends on what you think. Now, let's go over some scenarios. What if the Heat can get multiple first-round picks and a young player? Is that worth considering? You got Denver out there. You got Golden State. You hear the rumblings and things of that nature. Now, both teams, you just wonder who they'd have to give up to get them. One, that would be the first question. Now, the second question is... Can Jimmy play a tertiary role or even a secondary role? You play a tertiary role in either place. Now, both those teams would have to give up assets and picks. Now, Golden State is a little more set up for that than Denver is. Now, the other team to contemplate is also maybe the Houston Rockets. Now, Houston, Ime Udoka's mentality, junkyard dog style. If he's the guy to get Jimmy. Now, we've heard the rhetoric from Raphael Stone that he doesn't necessarily see a trade because of the fact that he'd like to see this season play out and see what he has. Very OKC of you, Raphael Stone. Here's the problem. There's a Fertitta in charge. That's the owner. And of what I know of the Fertittas, they're not very patient people. So we wonder, will Houston dip their toe into the Jimmy Butler waters? We shall see. Now, let's get to some baseline buzz Actually, no, let's get to the Charlotte Hornets first. And then we need to, we actually did the baseline gloves because it was Carl and it was the Lakers situation. So, I'm sorry. I was thrown off. The monologue threw me off. I was heated. My apologies. Now, getting back to the Charlotte Hornets, let's break down a little bit. They got a lot of stuff going on. Charlotte, I don't know if you're aware of what's going on, but their offense ranked 26th in league at 109 straight up. LaMelo can't find his identity. He's shooting 51.6 true shooting percentage, which is well below league average. Now, in their recent game against Washington, they showcase everything that is going on with this team. They missed 43 three-point attempts. And their execution late game was dismal. A lot going on in Charlotte. And now, here's the other thing. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I guess they do promotions. They do promotions during the games when commercials are on, timeout, whatever the case may be. In Charlotte, they had a PR disaster. They had a PS5 giveaway incident. Now, for our listeners who missed it, there was a 13-year-old fan who thought they won a PlayStation 5 during a holiday skit, only for it to be taken back. Backlash forced the Hornets to apologize and offer compensation. But that moment just encapsulates just some of the stuff that's going on right now. They got a lot of can't get right. And here's the thing. I like Charles Lee. I think he's going to be a good coach. They got to figure out who wants to be serious on that basketball team and who doesn't. They also have a ton of injuries with their bigs. And Brandon Miller's been hurt too. So there's been a lot of inconsistency with lineup construction. And it hasn't been Charles Lee's fault. It's been injuries. It's been a mass unit. And when you sit there and you are a 48.3 effective field goal percentage shooting team, it just highlights their inability to generate good shots. LaMelo is taking too many contested threes. He went 3 of 18 from beyond the arc against Washington. They got to make sure to get their guys back, get them healthy. They also might want to look at who wants to really be there and build something special. I don't know what they're going to do, how they look upon this year. This is just a year where we're just tanking and getting the draft pick, and then we can start making moves to maybe rid ourselves of some players that we weren't too fond of. I don't know. We'll see. Now, let's talk about their rookie, Tijan Salon, or Tijan Saloon, however you need to pronounce that. I do not want to mess up that man's name. So he's being modest right now. He's 7.2 points a game, 3.8 rebounds. He's shooting 38% from the corner three, which is good because that's what he did at France. Now, he's showing flashes of being a stretch big. Defensively, he's averaging 1.1 blocks per 36 minutes. Makes him presence in the paint. I love that. Now, here's the thing. He has some toughness to him. He's got a little, like, dog. He's pretty aggressive when he gets out there and plays. He loves defense, loves rebound. I like this kid. I like this kid's energy. I don't know what he's actually going to end up being. I hope he ends up being, a really effective 3-and-D guy. But he might be a supercharged 3-and-D guy. I don't think it's going to take long for him to understand the game, understand what he can and cannot get away with. And I look at somebody like that and I wonder if it could be like Tari Eason-esque. You know what I'm saying? Tari Eason, good player. Like Tari Eason a lot. And if Tijan Saloon can end up being him, Charlotte got some to go along with Brandon Miller and LaMelo Ball, I'm not counting LaMelo out. I love him. I think he's a really good player. I just think sometimes he is there for the show. And sometimes I need you to be there for the grit. The grit, LaMelo. Lefty talky, but you're more like your brother, Lonzo. All right, let's turn our attention to the Washington Wizards. And people go, Vince, you're really turning your attention to the Washington Wizards? And I say, yeah. You know why? Because there are Wizards fans out there who are looking towards me to give them proper Wizards content. So I will. All right. They're firmly planted at the bottom of the league with a 4-21 record. But their recent win against Charlotte shows some signs of life. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Listen, a blind squirrel gets a nut every once in a while. Hope would be a strong word. Their offensive rating is 30th in the league. That would be last, because we only have 30 teams in the league as of right now. Might have two more soon. But 30th in the league at 105.1, their defense isn't much better. It's 29th, which is one spot out of the last spot. It's not great in Washington, but we knew this year was going to be this way. We knew it. So their defensive rating is 119.6, but I'll say this about their young core. Bilal Coulibaly, Alex Saar, and Bob Carrington offer promise. Let's start with Bilal Coulibaly. His defense has been solid. Coulibaly has a positive 1.3 defense box plus minus, and it ranks him in 78th percentile in steal percentage, with showing his ability to disrupt passing lanes. Now, his offense is a work in progress. He's shooting 34.8% from three, which is respectable given what we saw last year and what have you. So Bilal Coulibaly is doing exactly what he needs to do. He goes in there, plays hard, plays with a lot of energy. We're seeing improvement on the three-point shot. We're seeing improvement on decision-making when he's on ball. We're seeing the ability to attack an aggressive closeout with thunderous dunks from the corner. We're seeing him not be afraid to take it to the rack when he gets the chance to. So there's a lot of things to like about what Bilal Coulibaly is doing. This is one of the bright spots on the team that has only 4 wins. Now, Alex Saar. This is more of a work in progress. Now, his 2.1 blocks per game ranks him in the 90th percentile of rim protection. Now, his mobility has drawn comparisons to Jaren Jackson Jr. His offensive game needs a ton of work. His three-point shooting is really hot and cold. It comes and goes. It reminds me of the movie when, I think it's Wolf of Wall Street, where Matthew McConaughey is talking to Leo DiCaprio. And he's talking about, it's all Fugazi. And he goes, and that's what happens with Alex Saar's jump shot from time to time. It looks pretty sometimes. And then all of a sudden, he gets rushed or he sees a man coming at him. And all the mechanics go out the window. Hence why he's shooting 31.6% from three. Now, Carrington, for his age and what he's been able to do, he seems very polished for somebody his age. I really like this kid. I liked him coming out of school. He's averaging 12.6 points a game. He's averaging 5.8 assists a game. Now, his potential is this, is that he could end up being a really good point guard. His assist to turnover ratio is 3.1 to the positive side. That's elite, especially for a rookie, because you know what rookies do? Turn the ball over all the time. That's why sometimes Dalton Connect can't get no burn in Los Angeles, because he turned the ball over a lot. Now, he's getting comparisons to Tyrese Halliburton. I will pump the brakes on that a little bit. If he can develop a mid-range game to complement his three-point shooting, I think this kid has a chance to make an all-star team or two. Will Carrington is doing his thing. Now, I will say this. What do you think is next up for the Wizards to do? Do they really need to trade anybody? Not really. But if you wanted to get off a contract, if you wanted to get off somebody and get real assets and really catch one of these desperate teams or one of these desperate contenders, trading Kyle Kuzma might be a way of doing that. Right now, he's averaging 15.8 points a game. He's shooting 42% from the field. He would be the piece that would be able to get you valuable picks back because he's played on the championship team. He's played very diverse roles in his career so far. And the other thing is that he can shoot it. He can stretch out to the three-point line. He can take you off the dribble. And when he's in the context of good players, his second side initiation is very good. He's just not going to show that in Washington because every shot to him is a good shot right now, for sure. Now, I guess on a brighter note for the Washington Wizards, it looks like there is a $800 million renovation of the Capital One Arena that signals a long-term commitment, but without on-court success, this could be a risky business investment. Well, guess what? Staying in the district is always good because you know what? The Wizards fans want their team inside the district. No Landover, Maryland. No disrespect to Landover, Maryland, but still. They want to be inside the city. And we want the Washington Wizards to be good. But Washington fans, Wizards fans, be patient. Help is on the way. You're doing a good job tanking. I believe in Michael Winger. I believe in your brain trust there. Keep just listen. Listen to some Journey. Don't stop believing. Listen to some Fleetwood Mac. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. I'm trying to think of somebody else. Who else we got? I don't know. Some expose, seasons change, whatever. Here's the deal. Wizards fans, it's going to be okay. It's a long winter. The football team is doing pretty good. You got a really good quarterback over there. Daniels is doing his damn thing. You're in a playoff hunt. There's something to be excited in the district. It's just not necessarily the Washington Wizards at this time. All right. Now, what I want to do is I want to thank Soraya for everything that she did and getting all these stats and everything like that. I also want to thank the audience. I want to thank you for allowing me to be able to do this three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Make sure to tell your friends who like hoops. This is where you get the real Dookie from. This is where we give it to you real rugged and raw. This is where you get the analysis, you get the stats, but you get the eyeball test. But the other thing that I hope that we give you is some entertainment. Hopefully we filled your heart with joy going into this pre-holiday weekend. And also, on a personal note, this is how the schedule works for next week. You will have a podcast on Monday. You will have a podcast on Wednesday. And you will have a podcast on Friday. Now, how that is going to work is that we're going to talk about the games on Sunday. We're going to give a break to Around the Arc until after the New Year's. If there's obviously trades or news or rumors, you'll hear that. Now, we're going to have a special podcast on Wednesday. Now, that podcast will be our second annual Three Wishes for the NBA. We did it last year. And if you want to get a little taste of what is to come this year, go back into the archive pods. Go to December 24th, and it's there. So you'll have that pop. And then on Friday, we are going to do a big draft pod. It should be about an hour, so it'll be like this one. And it'll have a lot of information about the people you want to know about. It'll be Ace Bailey. It'll be Cooper Flagg. It'll be Dylan Harper. It'll be Edgar Denham for BYU. That's our guy. We like him a lot. Okay? So, keep it locked here with Front Runner Podcast Collective on the holidays. Take us with you. You know what I'm saying? When your family is tripping, you got Front Runner Podcast Collective. When somebody takes the last piece of cornbread and you need to go out and get some fresh air, take Front Runner Podcast Collective with you. Now, when your uncle gets out of pocket because he's had maybe one too many scotches, you know what I'm saying? And you need to drown him out, Front Runner Podcast Collective. Now, if you are sitting on the couch and you got the itis and you feel like you're falling asleep, put Front Runner Podcast Collective on, relax. If you drift off to sleep, that's cool. If not, you're going to be downloaded with some cool information about the NBA and what's going on in it. So with that being said, I hope everybody enjoys their time. I hope that you make it back to your families. I know this is a busy time of year for people to get out there and travel. Be safe out there if you're traveling by car or whatever. And if you're traveling by plane, be patient. It's going to be tough out there. But we wish everybody safe journeys. And take Front Runner Podcast Collective with you on your pursuit to get back home or go to the grocery store and get the food or whatever the case may be. I'm going to be in the trenches with you, and we'll see you back on this podcast on Monday. So the best part of you is you. Make sure that you will have people in your life that are additive to your life. Go out and do some good into this world. And then we'll see you back on this podcast on Monday. Deuce.